Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kay Thompson Live Show. Tonight, this is a busy week. This is a busy month, and it's been a quite a painful time because of the fact that we are still in mourning. You know, my daughter Gina Payne Scott from Bermuda, who was taken to our Lord in a few months ago, just about a month ago, I think. Still a little bit out of it, but we're going to be talking to her father, Bill Payne, and he's going to be calling in, and he's going to be telling us his thoughts, his feelings about his daughter. So while we are waiting the call, you know, we are going to be talking about, I hate to say it, but Trump. That's what I have to say about Trump. That's all I have to say about Trump, really. So there is no interest there at all. But to talk about my daughter, Gina, you know, Gina was, such an alive person. You know, she did absolutely everything you can think of in Bermuda to, you know, keep everything lively, alive in Bermuda. She was involved in so many different things. We have been talking about her for a long period of time. We have been mourning her death, and this is coming to the period that I think we should leave this, because I think we have expressed our feelings that really have been so intense. You know, it's really something when you lose a child and you don't expect to lose that child. However, life does go on, even though you feel very sad about things. And it takes a while. And it takes a while to get back to a certain place of being human, really, of feeling alive. So we are going to be talking to Bill Payne. We're expecting him to call in. This is Gina's father. In just about another 5 or 10 minutes. And I hate to be talking about, you know, current things, you know, because, you know, that would be such a negative thing, because we all know who's the person that is in the news these days. And I don't think I want to mention his name in connection to our family, not under any circumstances, president or not. So that's the end of that story. So, and while we are waiting for Bill Payne, she has stopped to call, and then we will hear his feelings, you know, about his daughter, Gina Payne Scott. Gina Payne Scott. Yes, ma'am. Gina Payne Scott. We are waiting for that call, and I hope it's going to be happening soon.
Hello.
So,
hello.
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
Hello, Bill.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. I'm pretty good, thank you. How are you guys doing? I'm doing fine. How are you all?
Mm-hmm. We're surviving. Mm-hmm. As you know, from now, you're probably doing the same thing. But I do know that you have a lot to talk about Gina, and you know, family in Bermuda. I think they're waiting to hear what you have to say, also. So say hello to Brianna, Dallas, and Gabriel, and Brian, Charmaine, and all the people in Bermuda, where Gina was, married with family, you know?
It's still kind of a difficult period from time to time. When we stop and think about Gina, and I thought about the times when I would call her, and her greeting on the phone was Shalom. Shalom, and it reminded me of Gina was such a kind of an adventurous young lady, and she really loved she loved life, and she was I call her my flower child, actually, because she was really very creative, and she loved life. She, you know, those who know her know that that she was into and she tried mountain climbing, and she tried skydiving, hand gliding, things like that. But even as a younger child, when we used to go to Lake George on vacation, for instance, Regina was a more adventurous one. And even though all the children tried to learn to water ski and that kind of thing, Gina also, I remember when we were up in Lake George, Gina was fishing, I think, with maybe Lisa. And at somehow, Gina got hooked by the fish hook, and there was no way to get it out. So I had to take Gina to the next town, to a hospital, to have the hook removed from her. And I think that it was either Gina that hooked herself, or it was either
Christy hooked Gina.
Christy was kind of young. Christy was small. I'm not
right,
sure.
Right. Well, that's
Christy.
The problem.
right.
That was the problem. She was too young. Do you hear
that's
Lisa's voice?
Well, that's Lisa. But also, you know,
Christy was too young. That was the problem.
the fishing. We went, and then also while we were up in Lake George, remember we went to the paper factory, an international paper. I remember we took a tour of this giant paper manufacturer, international paper, I think it was. But the interesting thing about that was that we went there because, you know, we had the business and we were producing business forms for major corporations, et cetera. So we decided that it might be a nice idea to tour the paper mill where we were buying the paper.
When
we got to the place, we decided that we wanted to see the paper mill. Everybody was very excited about it, but we hadn't cleared before we got there that no children were allowed in the plant. And here we were going up this massive plant with four children, to visit this plant. And when they saw us coming in, they didn't know what to do. Really, it was interesting, but. The thing about it is that when we came back home to Maplewood, and Gina went to school that fall, she made a replica. She made a of the paper plan and all the steps that were involved in making the paper. And I remember that was a very good replica of that. And it was interesting, the reason I say Gina was she was very adventurous. And also had a mind of her own. I remember when we were, she was the first one of us to go to Martha's Vineyard, as a matter of fact, because she had a friend whose family had a place in Martha's Vineyard, and Gina was invited to go there. And Gina was, I know she was in Martha's Vineyard before I was, et cetera, but she was a guest up there, and so she was the one that experienced Martha's Vineyard. But that was mild compared to Gina's, participation in the program Upward Bound, I think it was called, in which
Outward Bound.
And so she engaged in those kinds of activities. As I said before, she would hang gliding. And as a matter of fact, Gina came home from one of those trips with this gigantic glider or whatever that she used to jump off of hills and fly over the place. But she was very, very adventurous. Gina was very, very adventurous later on in life. Of course, when we became involved, my brother Donald became involved in politics and ran for office and ran for Congress, et cetera. Gina was a teenager, young, and she volunteered in this campaign, and she became very interested in elections and politics. And she organized a group of young people to help to work in the campaign, and she created a created a program whereby these young people were involved, and in fact, Gina created a magazine for young people that she edited and was really quite impressive with that, and with the students that she had, and I think she worked with the IYO, International Youth Organization, with
mm-hmm.
Carolyn Wallace,
yep.
was the head of that organization. Yeah, and that Carolyn Wallace was with us when we were at Gina's homegoing service. But anyway, Gina, you know, a lot to talk about Gina. You know, she did hiking, and she I think if I remember correctly, she had an outdoor 3 days, had to survive by herself in the outdoors or something like that. And she was willing to do that kind of thing. But the political part of it, my brother was involved in politics, and I was too, and Gina became very, very interested in politics. And her later life, when she was married and moved to Bermuda, it turned out that her brother-in-law was involved in politics and was a member of parliament, I believe, in Bermuda, and Gina worked at his campaign. So her early experience here in the States helped her out, except that she said to me, you know, Daddy, I'm not sure that Tony really wants to win. I said, why do you say that? She said, because, you know, in the States, we have a lot of hoopla and getting people excited about coming out to vote and knocking on doors and, you know, having parades and things like that. And so she said, I was doing the same kind of thing down there, knocking on doors and saying, come out and vote for Tony, et cetera. And she was told that, oh, no, that's not the way we do it here. No, we don't, not that way. And Gina asked the question, I don't know, I wonder whether they want to get elected, but I'm not used to this quiet campaigning. But they said, no, we don't do it that way. But Gina was a little surprised by that, and I guess surprised by a number of things that were different on the island in Bermuda. And one of the major things was that Gina told me that, she said, Daddy, you know, the prime minister walks through town, downtown, without any security, without any bodyguards, without any secret service. She said, and you know, he walks through town and you stop him. And she said, and so I started stopping him as he walked through town and talking with him. And I think it was John Swan. John Swan was the prime minister at the time. And Gina went up to him and began talking to John Swan, premier, about conditions that she thought needed to be addressed, you know, such as schooling and things like that. And she said, I'm surprised that, you know, I could walk right up to him and have my conversation. And as you know, Gina had her TV show down there, and she talked about a lot of the conditions that she thought should be changed or improved in Bermuda. And I think some people saw her as a foreigner, and here's this person from the States coming and telling us how to run our government. And, but Gina was outspoken, as we know, and she let it be known right to the head of government. I'm not so sure anybody else did that, but Gina said, here's my opportunity. And the thing that really was very interesting, too, was that when Bill Clinton was running for president, and also we had in New Jersey Bill Bradley, who was running for office, I think, United States Senator, et cetera, and we had a convention in Chicago, at which time they were looking to select a candidate to run for president, the Democratic Convention,
mm-hmm.
and I was a delegate there. Gina was living in Bermuda. But one day after I got to the convention to my hotel, somebody knocked on my door, and I opened the door, and who was it? It was Gina. Gina had time made. I came up there. She came up from Bermuda. How she got on in the hotel, how she got there, I don't know, but she became my roommate for the entire convention. And not only that, but Gina kind of took over our delegation. Bill Bradley was the head of our delegation. But I would look up in the mornings, and there was Gina up in front as if she was helping to conduct the morning in the session there. And it got to the point. She got the attention of the newscasters and TV casters, and they interviewed her a number of times. This must be somebody that's very, very up in the Democratic Party. And she was interviewed on television a couple of times while at the convention, Yeah, Gina was from Bermuda. She wasn't even a delegate there, but she ended up being interviewed, et cetera. She almost took over the, conducting the morning sessions. But she was,
uh-huh.
nothing held Gina back. And she was very successful in being able to end up in places where she was. And we had a convention in Boston 4 years later. And I think that's the convention where Barack Obama was introduced to the Democratic Party, National Party, and he made a speech at which time he was introduced. People began to find out who this guy was. Well, I happened to be a delegate to that convention, and that's another time. Gina, she had knocked on my door in Chicago. 4 years later, she's knocking on my door in Boston. Daddy, I'm here. I'm here. I'm at the convention. And while Obama was making his speech, I was up there in the front, and I didn't know where Gina was, but except that Gina was able to get to places that nobody else could get, and I looked around at some of the boxes way up in the top, and I see somebody frantically waving from up there, and who is it? But Gina had gotten herself invited to one of these boxes that these people had, the delegates from places, and she was up there as a guest of somebody from, I don't know where they were from, but she was up there waving, got my attention where she was, and it was amazing. We know stories about Gina going to Michael Jackson's trial and getting up, getting into the courtroom. We know stories about Gina being able to get herself wherever, and not only by herself, but also we'll take Brianna with her. Just say, well, follow me, just do what I do, and they ended up in places that nobody ever dreamed. But that was Gina. Gina had the courage or the confidence in herself. Just follow me. That we'll get there. And they ended up. People say, "Oh, excuse me, please let them through. Let them through. Let them see if get a good seat." But Gina was just. There was no limit to what Gina could do. I think that had Gina remained in this country, Gina probably could have run for office and probably could have been in the state legislature or probably even in Congress. She had that kind of drive and that kind of interest in trying to bring about change. Gina believed in that you could bring about change. I mean, as when she was in Bermuda, she believed that you can bring about change, that you could, convince people who are running for public office of the things they needed to do. And I believe that, recently we've seen a number of young people, women in particular, being elected to Congress. I think Gina would have been one of those some years ago because she knew what needed to be done. She cared about people, and I really believe that she would have been very effective in public office, even down in Bermuda, perhaps. But that was Gina, and like I said, she had great ideas too. She had big ideas, as a matter of fact. I remember when it was time for her to begin looking to go into college, getting near graduating from high school. She learned of a college I knew about up in New York State, as a matter of fact. It was a very liberal college. I forget the name of it, but Gina wanted to go up there. So we flew up. We took a plane.
Mitchell College, I think.
Up. What college was
Mitchell.
It?
Mitchell College?
No, this
Mitchell.
Is before that. No, this is, no, this is,
oh, okay.
Was it, which she ended up going to Mitchell. I believe.
Right.
Is that the one?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But before that, she wanted to go and explore this this college that was up in New York State, way up in New York State. I think Mitchell was in Connecticut, I believe. But we flew up. She convinced me. She convinced me to buy a plane ticket so we could fly up. So we flew up the Hudson, over the Hudson River, flew up there, and we toured that college. I can't remember. It was kind of an unorthodox school. They had like a lot of free kind of the students had the freedom to identify a project to work on their own, et cetera. But I remember taking that flight up there. And Gina also had me. She flew up to Martha's Vineyard a number of times. So she was avant-garde, shall we say. And Gina was, she saw something, she tried to go after it. But she was, like I said, no question that she would probably have been a very effective member of government had she remained up here. but she was
Do you remember also in Jamaica, wasn't he doing the hang gliding or something? I mean, the windsurfing first time they first came here or something?
Yes, yes. What was that? That was, what do they call that?
Windsurfing. Windsurfing.
Windsurfing.
Just started.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly right. And I think she ended, her picture ended up in a magazine in Germany. I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was. She was. Regina was fearless. You know, she would try and try anything. And yeah, I came down to Jamaica several days after you guys had gotten there. When I got there, oh my goodness, I was just having a wonderful time. You know, having people teach them how to, what was it, wind gliding or whatever you call it. But that was.
Yeah, windsurfing. The guy from wanted her to model in the magazine or something like that.
Windsurfing.
Yep. He's German. A German guy,
right.
Guy from Germany.
Yeah.
When I got there, I was like an outsider. I mean, he wouldn't know who I was. I mean, he was teaching everybody how to wind glide and all that kind of stuff. You know, I had introduced myself. You know. But it was good. Gina's. And of course, down in Bermuda, Gina, like I mentioned before, she had her TV program and the Onion Trail TV program for youngsters. And was teaching. Actually, the interesting thing about it was that program that she had young people in it, young children, and she used the Onion Trail to teach youngsters about different features of Bermuda, different parts of Bermuda,
right.
And she would, you know, walk through and point out things. I think Brianna was helpful with her as well there. But yeah, she had a way of convincing people that this was something that would be valuable and worthwhile. And so she had no bounds, no limits on what she believed
she
could do,
and
she did it.
And she would take the kids who followed her on, you know, trips, and that was on the Onion Trail, and that was in
yeah.
Bermuda.
Yeah,
and,
right,
and yes,
exactly.
that did involve, and somebody quite tell us of the last conversation that we had with one of the with either Brianna or Dallas or Gabriel about the big alligator in Bermuda.
Oh my God. Alligator in Bermuda.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes, it was.
I remember the alligator in Jamaica when somebody suggested that we take a ride out in this little canoe or whatever it is in this place where there were alligator farm or something like that. I don't know whose idea that was. Yes, you're right. Yeah. But who went? Just you.
Wasn't me.
Lisa, Gina, Eric. You weren't there, were you? I don't think Eric was there.
Eric,
We went out. Out in the water, like alligators swimming around out there.
We had to keep scooping the water out of the canoe because it kept coming in.
It was kind of a rickety thing. It wasn't. Yeah,
you
I wouldn't
think?
Say it was the most. And now that I think of it, I don't think I would do that again if we had the opportunity. I don't think so. I don't think anyone seemed to be frightened by it. Everyone seemed to enjoy that adventure, I think.
Gina was on the Gina jumped in the canoe and the lizard jumped in the canoe. And we were told to sit still, but the lizard came, you know, she doesn't like bugs.
not at the same time that we were at the alligator pond. But anyway, you know, recently I was down in Bermuda and went down there. I used to go Christmas time, you know, sometime. I would go to Bermuda to be with Gina so that she would have some, you know, somebody from here anyway with her. And I had a good time in Christmas to go down there. Number one, it was never snowing at that time, although it might have been snowing here in the United States. But I went and spent time with Gina and Brian and the family Christmas time. I enjoyed that, and we had a great time. And Gina was also, when I went to Bermuda, I think a year or so ago, Gina had a reception. Gina had a reception for me with members of the local parliament down there. She arranged for, I think, the the speaker of the parliament there to be at a reception that they had, and invited a number of the leaders there, and it was really an outstanding event that she arranged. I was surprised that we were able to do that, and so Gina was the gracious hostess, and I met the fellow who was the speaker of the parliament there, and it turned out that he had gone to school at Rutgers University in Newark. He was a Bermudan. He went to school in New York first, and then he transferred to Rutgers in Newark. And he said it was a once in a lifetime experience, because when he got here, Rutgers University was being there was a revolution going on there, as a matter of fact, in Newark, and the African American students took over some buildings to protest the conditions that were there against minorities, and this fellow said that he had transferred from New York to there, and he happened to land here in the middle of that uprising. And I remember when Rutgers had the students took over some buildings there, and here was a guy from Bermuda who initially was going to school in New York and transferred here and ended up in the middle of this movement, and he said it really turned his life. He really learned a great deal, and so Gina had him at the at this reception a year or so ago when I was down there. So it was very, very interesting how Gene was able to call upon leaders, labor leaders and others. In fact, her brother-in-law was a labor leader, and he was a member of parliament that Gina helped in his campaign. But Gina had close contact with people that were in government and also in businesses. So she was charming. Well, let me tell you this, too. Now, many years ago, as a matter of fact, when South Africa was beginning to fight against apartheid, and Mr. Mm-hmm. Mandela, I believe, was still in jail, we had a meeting. My brother, who was a member of Congress at the time, and a number of other members, maybe a dozen other members of Congress and the Senate, got together and had a meeting in Bermuda, a meeting that was not publicized, to discuss the changing of the order in South Africa that was coming about. And what we did, we had members of the U.S. Congress and Senate were at this meeting, along with some of the leaders of South Africa, some of the leaders, both of apartheid, the nationalist leaders, and also the Africans who were fighting, who were Mr. Mandela's associates. They were fighting against this apartheid. And so they had a meeting. They brought the leaders of both sides to Bermuda, to a neutral place, and they discussed the time when soon Mr. Mandela would be free and that he would be seeking to run for office. But they wanted to meet with the opposing sides at a neutral place. So Bermuda was picked, and there was no publicity there. And we had a meeting for about almost a week with leaders of both sides there. And Gina was on the island, of course, and I contacted her. And so she said, I want to invite people to her house. So she had a reception for about, I would imagine, about 20, 25 members of Congress and senators and congresspeople, and invited them to her house for a reception. So we went there, and it really was very, very unusual, because whenever the members of Congress, senators, et cetera, were out of the country, there was a lot of security. They had security around. They watched them. They had bodyguards and things of that nature. Well, when Gina invited us there, we said, okay, we'll come. So here we are with all these congressmen and senators walking down the street, walking up to this place where Gina was living, up under, had a nice view. And so we went there. And I learned later on that this was against the protocol, that we were not supposed to take these representatives from the United States government to someone's private house on the island. They never did that. They were concerned about security. But Gina was a gracious host. Oh, come into my house and have drinks and whatnot with these people. And they had a great time. Senator McDonald was there, and his colleagues were there, and we were there, and we had a wonderful time. And Gina was a perfect audition, perfect hostess. And just when we left, went back to the hotel, it was at that time that the guys who were responsible for the safety and security of these members of Congress let us know that never before in any of the countries that we went to did anybody would pull something like that off. So we invite people to their house and entertain members of Congress and et cetera. So Gina did something that they have never done again. We've been to many foreign countries, and no one's private home has been used to host these guys. Gina had it first on that, and the only time, you know. So we learned about that later on. And no, they made sure that never happened again. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was great, and certainly my brother enjoyed it, and Gina was certainly a one. You can imagine, Gina was such a gracious host and something like that, and yeah, she could really put it on when she wanted to, and so everybody was really impressed with Gina and Brian, and they had this great reception. There's no balance. There was nothing that Gina felt she couldn't do. I mean, so these are Congress people and whatever. She never felt that there was something she couldn't do. You know, she had an idea, and that was it. We're going to do it. I mean, from the days of hang gliding to the days of water skiing, from the days of having representatives of the U.S. government in her house. You know? So, yeah, she was incredible. So as I say, Gina would have been an amazing member. As a matter of fact, it was a discussion among some people some years ago, and we talked about, you know, as time goes on, we probably get together, have some of the younger people run for office, and Gina said, "Yes, well, you know, I'm run for Congress." I mean, it's as if just took it that that was, of course, why not? And she had the potential for that. She really did. She had the potential that she demonstrated leadership and was fearless. I mean, she was fearless and also so compassionate. I mean, she was concerned about people who were less off. She was concerned about people who may have been, at the bottom rung of the ladder. I mean, Gina would do whatever she could to try to help people, you know, lift them up and that kind of stuff. You know, she was just a... that kind of a person, you know. She, as a matter of fact, I think Gabriel said that her son, her youngest son, said that his mother was extremely concerned about people and generous, and that in Bermuda that she was coming, waiting for a bus to come home, and there was somebody there who had no friend, no bus fare, and Gina gave the person her bus fare, and she left, you know. That was the kind of person she was, and she was just an incredible human being. I'm sure that the world has lost years and years of positive contributions that Gina would have made. But I think her legacy, it's obvious from her children. It's obvious that they were aware of how great Gina was and how concerned she was about people. And so I think that they'll pick up, maybe they'll pick up the mantle and carry it on, because Gina, she left here too soon, but she really was she had unlimited ideas, and we've heard the stories about how Gina shared her talent. What is it that she used to teach? Yoga, et cetera, and she would be on the beach down in Bermuda, and she would let it be known to people around that you can be giving a yoga lesson a little just in 10 minutes, or I'll be here doing it. And it's free, we'll do it free. And then 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, you see about 10 or 12 ladies primarily, I guess, Gina's teaching them on the beach, this yoga business. So she was generous to a fault. So anyway, that was my Gina. She was my buddy, I think. She worked for the retirement. She was back here from Bermuda. She was working for the Essex County Hospital Center. And whenever Gina saw something that she didn't think was right, you can rest assured, Gina brought it to the attention of the people and made changes about it. She could not tolerate people being treated unfairly, or that she thought that there needed to be treated, but Gina stepped up, and I don't know where she got stepped up, but she stepped up, and
I know
any changes.
I know where.
Wherever she went, you know. But I mean, and she was fearless. I mean, she believed that this was something to do that make things right. She did it, and that she was that was great. And that's what I liked about it a great deal. She was very concerned about others, and she stepped up to do something about it, not just stand on the sidelines. Regardless of what the consequences might be, she was committed to making things right for people who didn't have it. You know, and that's one thing I loved about her. One of the many things I loved about her. But she was incredible, no doubt about it. But she did all the positive things. It is, you know, even though she left us suddenly and whatnot, you know, there's so many positive things that didn't keep us, remembering the positive things about her, things like that. And when I go to my office, there are people that still, you know, remember when she was here and when she worked here. And so, and also, I have to tell you that while Gina was here during a period that she was married, and they moved back up here for a little while, Gina got involved with local government, with politics up here. She got involved with helping with campaigns and whatnot. She selected people in Bloomfield and whatever that she felt were worthy of support, and she got active in their campaign because she believed that you shouldn't stand on the sidelines. You know, something that I've tried to do, and I guess it runs in our blood because my brother was the same way, and other members also got involved because the opportunity to really bring about change, rather than sit on the sidelines to complain about what people are doing. Well, they step up there and do it. And Gina was not afraid to do that. It was certainly demonstrated a number of times in Bermuda and also up here. It was demonstrated when Gina had all these people that came to her reception for me, when I thought that they came and they respected her. So that was, my Gina. So I remember Lake George. I remember Martha's Vineyard. We ran to the places, things that we did, and then Gina was kind of like a pyramid, a pioneer rather. Some of these things, doing things. I was years later that I finally was introduced to Martha's Vineyard, and it was, as I said, it was a great opportunity. I really. So happy that I had the opportunity to go to Bermuda to spend time this past summer, as a matter of fact, with Gina, and so it was a blessing. It was truly a blessing. So those are my thoughts right now about my Gina. She was an animal lover too, I suppose. I remember she had she wanted a dog, Foxy. I think was that the name of the dog?
Foxy.
I think it was Foxy, I believe.
Foxy.
Foxy, yeah. That was her dog. Gina just had so many positive things about her, and she was a friend, you know, a person that was very friendly, and we miss her, but as I said, the great part is that we have these great memories, and there's far more, I'm sure, that you guys have that as teenagers together and as kids are going to school. But the ones that we had when you guys were little people, and we were able to go to Sebago Beach, with my father, and up to the Bear Mountain and places like that, and it was like great adventures to go to Bear Mountain or Sebago Beach. I don't know whether, Lisa, you guys remember Sebago Beach?
Also, I don't know if you remember when you're talking about Gina was an animal lover.
Yeah.
One time she went to that Turtleback Zoo at the county zoo, And she went up there, and she was trying to interning or something with the animals.
Yeah.
And she went, do you remember what I'm going to say?
Yeah. No, go ahead.
And I'm she went to pet the tiger,
uh-huh.
put her hand, squeezed her hand in the case some kind of way, and she came home with her jean jacket, one side of her arm of the jean jacket shredded, and the other one was whole. And we're like, what did you do? She goes, you tried to pet the animal, and it ripped her jacket.
What? What?
I didn't know about that for the longest period of time. They kept that from me.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! I never heard that one.
That's probably why they have two. Yeah, that's probably why they have a retaining wall and another wall too.
Yeah. Right. Well, she reached into the
tried to
pet the
lion.
Oh
yep.
God. Mm-hmm.
That was my daughter, all right.
Gee whiz.
Never knew about that, huh?
And Halloween, I think she really liked Halloween. She was ahead of her time because she would out of her bedroom was over the her bedroom window was facing the front of the house. So when people would come up and do trick or treat, she did a recording with her screaming, yelling. So if you came up to the door, she would press the button on the tape recorder, and they would scream and scare people, and they would crack up.
That was in Maplewood.
Yeah, my goodness. Yeah, she was very, very creative, that's for sure.
Creative, absolutely creative.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of the things that the children are learning about their mother when she was a child, you know, it's just surprising to them and interesting to them too. But the fact is that, you know, Gina continued that spirit that she had. I think it was Gabriel who said that, you know, his mother would dance down the street, you know, and say, Mom, she would be dancing as she walked down the street or walked down the hill or whatever it is. And she was just full of life, and no holds barred. I mean, that was Gina.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's
okay.
That's
right.
We'll see her again. So anyway, it's good to be able to, you know, reminisce about some of the things that, and there's so many more things that we could talk about her. But she was a generous young lady, and made contributions made people that met her get to know her, and the young people that when she worked with here with the teenagers and. Uncle Donald and worked in Uncle Donald's campaign, and got other young people to do that. It was a positive, you know, positive thing. And, she made her. She left her contribution. She made her contribution while she was here. I'm sure that the people that listened to the youngsters that listened to on her TV show or listened to what she had to say, or may have picked up some of the positive things, the caring things that she demonstrated for people. I'm sure that some of them picked up some of the positive things. Like I said, that Gina demonstrated, and those are some of the things that we can cherish, the memories we can cherish.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my part of my recollection about Gina.
Okay.
Like I mentioned, that we were down in August vacation with Gina, and went out on went out on the water and had a great time. And she was full of life, and she was really having a fantastic time and showing the splits and the dancing, and that she and Brianna was showing their abilities as dancers and whatever. So we had a great time, great memories, fantastic memories.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's That's my story.
Thank you for sharing.
That's my...
And, yeah, and we want to thank everyone for listening. We have been talking about our daughter, Gina Payne Scott, in Bermuda, who passed recently. She was hospitalized with the flu. Want to urge everybody to get their flu shots. And we miss her terribly, absolutely terribly. Thank you, Bill Payne.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Okay. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Okay. Right. Bye-bye. Okay. Alrighty. And we are back with, you know, talking about Gina here at K. Thompson Live. Eric Payne is absent tonight. Wayne Gilman's will be back. Byron Saunders will be back. Let's see. The caller can call back. That was a 646 number. We weren't able to get to it, but we're trying now to get to it. So if that person wants to call in, and because we still have some time, you know, in this, because this is the, is that caller back? You're on the air.
I am here. This is Byron. This is Byron, and I just want to say how much I've enjoyed your remembering your daughter, the loss. I mean, even on Facebook, and my condolences to the family, because I did have the chance to interact with her on your show.
I recall
the wonderful conversations we had, and that thank you for sharing. It's really important. I think, you know, as you go through the grieving periods and the moments of remembering, it's very helpful to be able to celebrate a life. And that's what I think that's really important, and I am enjoying the celebration of her life.
Byron, thank you so much, because I was going to be caught. I was trying to get in touch with you while you're trying to get in touch with
me.
Right.
No, I understand. Believe me, it's a moment we all have to share. We're all family. Even the extended part of your family is me and Wayne Gilman. You know, I consider myself to be part of the extended family.
Hopefully you're listening.
So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. That's all I wanted to just make that comment. We'll talk later.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Okay.
All right. God bless you all.
Thank you. Same to you. All right. That was nice. So what time is it? It is. I mean, you wanted to say something about time. But we are coming to the close of the show. We have 8 minutes, actually. So if there's anyone else who would like to call in, Wayne, if you're listening in, we have some time left, and we can say hello to you and talk a bit, find out what's going on. The weather here in New Jersey is absolutely awful, as people know. Temperatures are really below zero, and we're broadcasting from New Jersey, and New Jersey and New York, it's the weather is awful, absolutely awful, you know. The White House yet is still in bad shape, because the person who is, I'm not going to even mention his name and ruin this, you know, discussion that we're having, or this celebration of Gina Payne Scott, our daughter, your sister. Wow. Christy's listening in. Eric is listening in. And so come to the end of the show. And I'm going to end it earlier. I have 8 minutes. Well, come here and talk with me. Anyway, let me tell you about Donald Payne Jr. A senior, rather. Donald Payne, senior congressman, was probably one of the most important congressmen, you know, in Congress at that time. He was the first African-American United States congressman, and he traveled all over the world, by the way. He used his global influence to work towards eradicating health and education disparities, promoting peace and youth development, and uplifting the human condition worldwide. Donald got to travel all over the world. And the YMCA, he was the national president of the YMCA, which is an organization that was open to all people, of all faiths, of all colors, all creeds. And they believed in the equality and health of a strong nation. Oh, you know one thing, Lisa, I forgot. When Nelson Mandela came to New York, remember? And I got to interview the president, Nelson Mandela, when he came to New York City. And if Wayne Gilman is listening in, and Gary Bird, they remember this. And Gina met us down in, I think it was down in the village. And she wasn't able to travel with us on the little butch court where we were members of the press. But anyway, we all had our clearances by the New York Police Department, and they were wonderful, by the way. And that was an experience that she also had with Nelson Mandela, if my memory is correct. So, and I'm going to close the show right now. It's not really being a show, it's of sharing. It's of sharing a painful portion of our lives, my life. And I'm going to be ending on this note. This is Kay Thompson Live. Join us next week for more programming. Okay. Thank you.